Hello, everyone. Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we come to the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 12, resuming our study in verse number 31. That's right where we left off last time. And as usual, I am going verse by verse through the entire Bible, through the Gospel of John currently. So get your Bible, open it up to John chapter 12, verse 31. A reminder to you that the Scripture Verse by Verse website is found at thebibleversebyverse.com, that you can study the Bible in its entirety from Genesis through Revelation using my audio Bible messages at thebibleversebyverse.com. Check it out. Study God's Word at your pace, at your convenience, at the Scripture Verse by Verse website found again at thebibleversebyverse.com. And Father, we ask today that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John chapter 12, beginning in verse 31, and we start out with a bang here today. The words of Jesus Christ, as he says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." He begins by saying, "Now is the judgment of this world." Mankind has been judged now. It's a done deal. Mankind has been judged, convicted, and sentenced to physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death because of their sin. That is God's judgment. It has been passed. As Jesus said, the world has been judged. The good news is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came and was willing to be punished for the world's sin. So while yes, we have been judged, convicted, and sentenced, Jesus came and took the penalty for those who receive him as Lord and Savior. For the others who go on to their grave without making Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, sentence will be carried out on them. Again, verse 31, last part of it. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The prince of this world refers to the devil. The devil lost his war against God when Jesus died on the cross. He lost because if a person trusts in the death of Christ to save them from hell, if a person repents and receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God credits their faith in Christ as righteousness, and therefore Satan cannot drag them into hell on his coattails. He lost. At least as far as Christians are concerned, people who trust in Christ, he lost. Millions will not go to hell because of Jesus' death on the cross. And that constitutes a big defeat for the devil. Verse 32. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Lifted up refers to the crucifixion, where he was lifted up from the earth on the cross. When you don't know what to say to someone who is not saved, keep talking about the cross. Just keep talking about the cross and what Jesus did for us on the cross. You know what he did for us on the cross. You must. If you're a Christian, you know that basic fundamental truth, that Jesus was crucified, that he paid for your sins. You know that, or you wouldn't be a Christian. So, if you don't know what else to say, when witnessing to a lost person and you're concerned about their immortal soul, just keep talking about the cross. Just keep talking about what Jesus did for them on the cross. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto myself. Lift up Jesus. Lift it up. That's all you have to do. The Holy Spirit will use that message to draw honest seekers to Christ. Verse 34. The people answered him, verse 33, let's back up. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So when he said, as I mentioned, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, he was talking about his crucifixion. Verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? People are confused. Because according to the Old Testament, the Word of God, the Messiah, is supposed to reign forever. But Jesus keeps talking about his death. So how can he be the Messiah? Simple. The Old Testament also teaches the Messiah will die for the sins of man. And the Old Testament also teaches that his body will not see corruption and his soul will not remain in the grave. He'll be raised up from the dead. The Old Testament teaches that too. The people are confused. You know why? Because they did not consider the entire Word of God. That's why I teach the Word of God, from Genesis through Revelation. I know some of the parts of the Word of God are more exciting than others. Some of it is a lot easier for me to teach than others. But I have disciplined myself for over 30 years to teach the whole counsel of God, because we need to have that whole counsel of God. We need to be balanced. We need to know what God said, so that we don't become unbalanced and heretical in our beliefs, and we don't become confused. If God says something, he deserves to be heard. And so the people are confused because they didn't consider, nor did they understand, probably were not taught the entire Word of God. 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the sons of light. These things spoke Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So, the last part of verse 36. He hid from them means this. His public ministry is over. This is it. Final warning to the public to walk in the light while the light is with them. To follow Jesus while he is there. To hang on every word that he said. To apply the words that he has said. To repent of your sin. To keep fresh his message of repentance and commitment to him. Do it before it slips out of your mind. And that was his final message. Public ministry is now over. 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw the glory, his glory, and spoke of him. So the religious rulers is what those verses referred to primarily. And they should have known better than anybody else, because it was their job to study the scriptures and to teach the word of God to everybody else. You know, people didn't run around with a Bible in their hands back in those days. They depended on religious leaders to give them the word of God. But they didn't do it. And so the people are confused. And religious leaders are totally in the dark. And that's because they were in the presence of the light of the world, the very God who created them, but they chose to put on a blindfold. They rejected the truth flat out. It wasn't that they couldn't understand the truth. It's simple. Truth is not complicated. You know, the nature of truth is that it's not complicated. Mankind often takes the simple truth of God's word and complicates it. I'll never forget Bible college. I took Bible and Bible and Bible and theology and theology. I just saturated myself with the word of God as much as I possibly could, because I knew that's where the answer was. And one of the electives I had was the Gospel of John. I could not wait to study the Gospel of John in this class. It was the worst class that I ever had. It was terrible. He took the simple teaching of the Gospel of John. By the time he got done saying the Greek word for this and the Greek word for that and this and that and the other thing, all that kind of ridiculous verbal nonsense, by the time he got done with his lecture, I was totally confused. He was one of the worst teachers that I've ever heard in my entire life. He took the simple truths of God's word that just needed to be highlighted and explained a little bit more, or illustrated, the simple teachings of the Gospel of John, and he totally complicated them and drained any student who was in his audience of any spiritual joy that they might have had otherwise from the word of God. That's what happens when you complicate the truth. Jesus didn't complicate the truth. He made it very simple. The reason that the religious leaders didn't understand is because they hated the simple truth. They chose to put on a blindfold. They chose to shut their eyes to the obvious truth that Jesus was speaking about all things, including himself. They chose to do that, and they made the wrong choice. They chose blindness. Now they had been sentenced to eternity in outer darkness in the lake of fire, where they have been burning and tortured and suffering, paying for their evil sins for the last 2,000 years, and they're just getting started. 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Most of the religious big shots didn't like Jesus. Which means, in reality, that most of those religious leaders didn't like God. Well, they talked a good talk when it came to God stuff, but they didn't like God. They liked their religion, and they liked their salary, and they liked the pomp and ceremony that went along with their position. But they rejected God's Son, so they rejected God the Father as well. He who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father either. That's what the Bible says. So 42 again, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Most of the religious leaders rejected the Son of God. But there were some few, relatively speaking, who saw the evidence and as a result believed in Christ. They believed in Christ. They certainly did. But they refused to follow him because it would have cost them their careers and their standing in the community. One can believe all the correct things about Jesus and still be lost and end up in hell. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, then I will deny you before my Father. Something to remember. Are you ashamed of Christ? Do you believe the facts about Christ? Wonderful. So do the devils. That's what James says in the book of James. So do the devils. They believe. You believe the facts about Christ. Congratulations. That's good. That makes you as smart as the devils. Have you received him? Have you repented and received him as Lord and Savior? Because if you have, you've received the Holy Spirit, and you're going to talk about him. You're not going to be ashamed of him. 43. For they loved... Let's just go back and read verse 42 along with it, okay? Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they did not confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What an indictment by Almighty God. How would you like that to be said of you by God? You love the praise of men rather than praise from God. These people who believe the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ but refuse to go public with it because they might get kicked out of the synagogue, they might lose their standing in the community, they might not be able to get a job, they might not be able to buy and sell. So they kept their mouth shut. They were spiritual cowards. And they refused to be publicly identified with Jesus Christ as a result. They knew the truth, but they wanted to be popular. They knew the truth, but they didn't want to rock the boat. They knew the truth, but they didn't want to lose friends or income. My friends, I have just described to you many modern evangelical preachers and pastors. And don't say it's not true. I know it is. And if you don't see it, you're a part of the problem because it is rampant. I'm not saying there aren't any good modern evangelical preachers. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's a whole lot that fit this description. They water down the truth. They do not call sin, sin. They do not speak of hell. They don't even mention the devil. They're afraid that somebody might roll their eyes and look at them as if they're old-fashioned. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about the fires of hell. They don't talk about these things that are negative. They've been taught not to do that in many of their seminaries. Because you're going to lose people. And you're going to lose money. And you're going to lose offering. Well, you just go ahead and keep all that stuff because you're going to lose your soul. And you're going to be responsible for this, for the souls of countless people that sat under you that you refused to give them the truth. You wretched, miserable, filthy, vile sinner. You disgusting, miserable excuse for a pastor or a preacher. You're just like these people. Many of them just like these people. They wanted to be popular. They didn't want to rock the boat. I am telling you, that fits the profile of much of modern evangelicalism. Don't want to lose friends. Don't want to lose income. Don't want to lose numbers. Those things were more important to them than their own immortal soul, and they sure didn't care about the people. And they made their choice. And it was the wrong choice. And they've been burning in hell for 2,000 years going on forever. And yeah, you got it. You get the gist of what I'm saying. Many modern evangelical preachers who operate well-oiled machines that call themselves churches are going to burn in hell forever. You mark my words. You mark the words of Jesus Christ, who absolutely despises lukewarmness. I will spew you out of my mouth, said Jesus. Did you ever take a drink of sour milk or something else that has gone bad? You can't wait to spit it out of your mouth You don't care if anybody's standing there. You don't care where you're standing. You don't care if there's a sink or a toilet. It's coming out because it's disgusting to you. And that's how Jesus feels about lukewarm preachers who refuse to call sin, sin, hell, hell, eternity long, and God's judgment, and talk about repentance, and all those buzzwords that make people unpopular. You're like sour milk to Jesus, and he's going to spit you right out of his mouth on judgment day, and you are going to be shocked, but it's going to happen. Verse 44, just like these people, there's no difference. Nothing has changed. Jesus cried out, verse 44, and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." See, rejecting Jesus Christ is rejecting the one who sent him, God the Father, God. Receiving Jesus is receiving God. The Jews do not worship God because they reject the Son of God. I don't care if it's the first century Jews or the Jews of today. They do not worship God. They say they do, but they don't. They've rejected God. They may be Orthodox. They may be very legalistic. They may be nice people. They reject God. The Jews reject God. The Israelites reject God. They're not saved. One idiot preacher, you'd know his name if I mentioned it. Fortunately, I forgot. But I can still see his face. Comes out and says, Jews don't have to receive Christ. They got their own covenant with God. He's a Christian preacher. Very popular. And all the Christian bobbleheads nod their head in agreement. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, no, no, no. He's wrong. He is speaking a lie. And he is condemning all those Jews to hell. He should be saying what the Apostle Paul said. You have to repent and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or you're going to go to hell. You're going to be lost. Paul was willing to be accursed himself if it meant that the Jews would receive Christ. That's how important it is. And this joker comes along and says the Jews don't have to receive Christ. Oh, he's just loving his popularity. He'll love it right up until the day he is sentenced to hell for being a liar and condemning souls, using his position and his platform to contribute to the condemnation of souls. And if you know anybody who's like that and you support them, shame on you. You're a part of the problem. And I wouldn't want to be you on Judgment Day either. Rejecting Jesus Christ is rejecting God. The Jews are going to hell. The Muslims are going to hell. The atheists are going to hell. The Hindus are going to hell. Anybody who rejects Christ is going to hell. Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sin. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Rejecting Jesus is rejecting God. Receiving Jesus is receiving God. The Jews don't worship God. The Muslims don't worship God. The Hindus don't worship God. None of these groups worship God because they reject the Son of God. The only religion that worships the true God, the only religion that will get a lost soul to heaven, is Christianity, because Christianity is Jesus. It's Christ. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the only Savior, and receiving him as Lord and Savior is the one and only way to heaven. You can mark that down. You can take it to the bank. Let me just repeat the words of Jesus again, so that you don't think this is Moret talking. Jesus cried out and said, he that believeth on me, believeth on him, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. 45. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Jesus is God in the flesh. Plain and simple. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father. To see Jesus is to see Almighty God. God the Father and God the Son are one and the same. And I know they're two separate persons of the Godhead, but it doesn't matter. They're still one. They're one and the same. And that is why it is impossible to reject Jesus and have the Father. You can't. 46. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. There are many religions. There are many so-called gods. There are many supposed roads to heaven. And every single one of them are worthless, except for Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus came to shed light on the truth. Jesus lit the path that leads to heaven, so that we can know the way. And he himself said, after he lit the path, he said, I am the way, the truth. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus lit the path that leads to heaven, and he made it absolutely certain that he is that path. Millions upon millions of sincere people have gone to their graves, hoping that they will make it to heaven, but they ended up in hell. Because they rejected the word of God. They rejected the only Savior. They rejected the very words of Jesus Christ. You say, Moret, that's your interpretation. I'm not interpreting anything. You're not listening to my interpretation. You're listening to the word of God. I'm not interpreting. I'm just reading it. Millions of people end up in hell who thought that they were going to heaven because they rejected the Savior. The Savior shows us the way. He shines a light in the spiritual darkness. But if a sinner doesn't follow Christ, that light doesn't do them any good at all. 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The purpose for Jesus' first visit to earth was to call people to repentance and faith, and to die on the cross to pay for the sins of those who would repent. That was his purpose the first time he came. Jesus didn't come to judge the first time. He came to save. But no impenitent, Christ-rejecting sinner should take these words of Christ to mean that they will never be judged. It's just that he didn't come to judge the first time. He's coming back to condemn everybody who rejected him. 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Those who reject the words of Christ found in the Bible and therefore reject Christ will be judged on the last day. Our lives are going to be measured by God's word on judgment day. And it won't be pretty. However, those who have repented and received Christ as Lord and Savior, because they believed what was written in Scripture, will stand before Almighty God justified and fit for heaven in spite of all their failures, in spite of all their sins. Those who reject Christ, as the Holy Bible says, will be sent to hell forever. It is that cut and dry. It is that black and white. The end. For more of God's Word, go to thebibleversebyverse.com and study at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Just bring your Bible, you know. That's all you have to bring. The rest is there. Bring your Bible, open it up to whatever book you want to study, click and listen. Begin in the beginning. I suggest the book of Genesis, go all the way through the book of Revelation, study the whole counsel of God. But whatever, just study the Word of God, okay? That's the most important thing that you can do. Do it at thebibleversebyverse.com. And please remember, I'm not underwritten by a large church or denomination. I never have been. For over 30 years, this has been a faith ministry, which means I give out the Word of God as clearly, as simply, as concisely as I possibly can, knowing that it's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way, knowing that those who are hungry for truth, those who love Jesus, are going to love it. They're going to love God's Word because they're being fed the truth. And I count on you people to stand with me and be a part of this ministry. Please pray for Scripture Verse by Verse and me and click the donate button at the top of the front page at thebibleversebyverse.com and prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Until next time, so long, everyone.